Blog Talk Radio.
Are you looking for a place to meet like-minded people?
Sing me a song of a lass that is gone. Say, could that lass be I? Mary of souls, she sailed on a day over the sea to sky. Below thank you.
And welcome everybody to Journey into the Light. So glad that you are here for this Thursday night's program. And very, very happy to have everybody along and on the show. And the call-in number, as always, is 347-884-8245 is the number. And we'll be glad to bring you aboard here onto the show. And our guest, Sumaya Wood, is our guest. So to call on in to speak to Sumaya, she'll be doing intuitive reading, soul coaching, whatever on your mind, whatever help that you need. She'd be very much really great in helping you in whatever direction you're needing help in. So again, you got the number, 347-884-8245 is the number here on Journey into the Light. Again, if you're new to Journey into the Light, you can click on the follow button to get updates of all the new and upcoming shows heading your way. And we'd be glad to take your call. So it's a great tool to use. Click on the follow button so you get emails of all the new and upcoming shows heading your way. So because Journey of Light's been here over 9 years, we have multiple shows daily on the show. So glad to have you here. So let's go out to the Bay Area and let's bring in Sumaya Wood to the show. Welcome back.
Hey, Michael, how are you?
Doing good. How about yourself?
I'm doing great. Thank you. Happy Thursday.
Happy Thursday. So what's new in your world?
Nothing. It's I'm waiting for Noah to kind of glide up in his ark, given how much rain we're having here.
Is it raining a lot?
It's been raining a lot in Northern California of late. So, yes, it's good. We needed it. And we're having, there's lots of flooding and mudslides and all kinds of fascinating things. Yeah.
Wow. So, first a drought and now too much, huh?
Exactly. Well, it's keeping things interesting, that's for sure.
Yeah, the world has a way of doing that. keep us on our toes.
Exactly.
Never a dull moment.
Can't complain of being bored, that's for sure.
That's the promise I made my son after election night. I said, one thing, son, you won't be bored.
This is true.
Several years. So, yeah.
Indeed.
So. Indeed. So, well, we got some callers on the line. You want to start in with the caller, see what's on their mind?
Let's do it.
Okay, great. Let's go to area code 952. Welcome. Can we get your first name and where you're calling from?
My name is Betsy, and I'm calling from Minnesota.
Hey, Betsy from Minnesota. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Fantastic. How can I help you, love?
I don't know, just kind of worrying about my business and where it's kind of going.
Okay. Well, it feels good. It feels fine. It feels like whatever's going on, let me see. Feels like a temporary hiccup.
Okay.
What I'm getting is it's a time for you to stay grounded in faith. I'm asking if there's anything specifically that you need to do in this moment. And other than that, no. I don't know why sometimes I get the imagery that I do, but what I'm seeing is you swimming in water and you're kind of approach, you're swimming up towards the surface and you're not far and it's an easy swim and that there's nothing blocking your path. So to quote Dory from Finding Nemo, just keep swimming.
Okay.
Is how it's coming up. And I always have to laugh at how I get messages because that one's funny.
That is funny.
But yeah, does that make sense at all?
Yeah, it does.
Any questions? Okay, good.
Yeah,
it feels like whatever you're doing is on track and you're gonna get to the surface without issue.
Okay, great. That's what I needed to know, and you have a lovely night.
You too, Betsy. Take care. Lots of love. Bye.
Okay, great. And let's go next.
Sorry. Uh-huh. Go ahead. I said I've never quoted from Dory. Just keep swimming.
Yeah.
All right.
Never know.
You never know.
Never.
All right, sorry, I interrupted. You said there was another caller?
Yeah, let's go to Virginia and Bonnie. Welcome to the show.
Hi, how are you? Thank you for taking my call. I appreciate it.
Of course. How can I help you, Bonnie?
I have quite a few health issues, and I'm wondering if you see that improving anytime soon.
Yes. I'm sensing that it's going to improve, and there's still some stuff that you're navigating through. Let me see if I can get some additional insights. It feels like your body is missing, is it nutrients?
I agree with that.
Some nutrients?
Okay, I agree with that. I agree with that because I'm on a weird diet for my kidneys, so I feel like I don't get enough nutrition because of that.
Okay. Yeah, it's there's something going on with that. And then do you ever check your pH?
No, I don't believe I know how to do that.
So you can, if you just go to a drugstore or you can buy them off of Amazon, there are these pH testing strips. And you can either test your saliva first thing in the morning or test your urine. And it feels like your pH might be slightly off as well, which depending on the nature of whatever is at the root of your health challenges can exacerbate it, especially if your body is too acidic.
Now, it's interesting you say that because I have a Kangen water machine, which is all alkaline. It makes your water alkaline.
Okay.
Would it help if I drink more of that water?
No. I'm getting no. It could, it might, you know, it might be that it's too alkaline. Just test your pH and see what's going on, because especially if your diet is not balanced and you're nutritionally deficient in some things, it can throw your pH out of whack. And you want to keep, from what I understand, and you can do some research online, but from what I understand, you want to keep your pH as close to neutral as possible, and neutral is at a 7. And if you get too far out of whack, either way, in either direction, too acid, too alkaline, it can throw things off. So just get those strips. You can ask a pharmacist about it if you pop into your closest drugstore. And then, let me see, do you ever muscle test? Or do you know how to muscle test?
I have a friend that does that all the time, but I never can quite master the art of it. She tests for wrists all the time.
Okay. Well, see if she can help you test for, like, get a list of vitamins and minerals and then have her help you test for which ones you might be deficient in. Or you can obviously go to your doctor and get blood tests for things. It feels like it's more of a vitamin overall vitamin deficiency than mineral, I'm getting a stronger hit for vitamins. So start with that list first and see what your body needs. Because if you can't get it through food because of your restricted diet, maybe you just start supplementing those specific vitamins and minerals that you're having a shortfall of, on.
Yeah, they give me a certain supplement because I'm always anemic, but I think I feel better when I take B-complex vitamins.
I was just going to say B.
Yeah,
okay.
I think you're right on, and I think I will certainly rush right to the pharmacy and see if I can't get those test strips that you're talking about.
Yeah.
I think that's a very good idea.
Not D. It also feels like you might need C. Again, like muscle test to confirm.
That's probably true because in this weird diet, I don't get any fruit.
Okay.
I really don't.
Okay. So yeah, you can find some there's a non-acidic C that I take personally that I found on – it's a powder that I found on Amazon. And you can take it by like one serving is a teaspoon, and that gives you 4 grams of vitamin C, which might be too much for you. So just, again, with your friend's help, muscle test for what you need and what the doses are, and that will – that should help, but do both of, like, what do you need and how much and for how long does your body need it? Because it might just be a temporary thing to alleviate, like, what I feel like for some of the vitamins, it might be just be a temporary boost that you need to get back into balance and not a long-term thing. So you want to look at all three things.
That was just really excellent. Thank you. I really appreciate that.
You
may very
well
be right on all of those things.
All right. Well, best of luck to you, Bonnie.
Well, thanks a lot.
Sending you lots of love. Take care.
Thank you. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All righty. Thanks, Bonnie. We appreciate it. So if anybody else wants to call in, the number is 347-884-8245. We're doing intuitive reading, soul coaching. Whatever on your mind, Sumaya is here. Sumaya, do you want to tell the folks how people can reach you, about your classes? How's that going?
Absolutely. So you can reach me on my website or find out more about me on my website, which is sumayawood.com. And my first name is spelled S as in Sam, U, M as in Mary, A-I-Y-A. Last name is Wood, W-O-O-D.com. And I have lots of free resources on my website and with my blog posts and affirmations and prayers. And you can also find a link from my website to my YouTube channel where I have lots of affirmative prayers and guided meditations on my website that can help you with your spiritual practice. So have a listen there if you feel guided.
Okay, very good. How's the classes and all that going?
Classes are going well. That's right. Thank you for reminding me. I am offering it's a weekly class right now. It's every Tuesday. It's called the Practical Spirituality Circle, and it's really a forum for folks who are interested. You can sign up. It's we meet the first four Tuesdays of every month. And the focus is all on the participants. There's no specific agenda each week. It's really designed to help participants apply spiritual principles to whatever is showing up in their lives, whether it's a relationship challenge or a health challenge or, you know, you might be triggered by things going on in the world around you, et cetera. It's really designed to have a look at how do you make spirituality practical in the day-to-day of your lives. And if you're interested in finding out more, you can visit my website and have a look.
Okay, very good, very good. Link is here on the show page, folks, and you can call into the radio show here to speak to Soumaya. 347-884-8245 is the number here to call on in. And let's go next to 780. Welcome. Can we get your first name? Canada. Seven, 780, are you there?
You're not talking to me, are you?
Yes, Diane. Yes, you're on air.
What the heck? I didn't.
Oh, okay.
I didn't press one.
Oh, well, I just
oh,
saw your number
funny.
Come up. I know you had a question.
Oh, no,
you
I
don't?
Was listening. Sorry.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, no.
Okay. Well, but you see, Diane is, she's a guest on Monday night, and that's why she's a free spirit. Just kidding. He's
got
like,
it.
What happened? So
well,
I just saw
Diane.
The number come across. But okay. Well, the recording doesn't say, you know, to press a 1 and unless I have time to go in the screening room, which I didn't, I've got to check because a lot of people don't press that 1. But they do want to come on, so.
Gotcha.
Yeah, for sure.
Did you watch the Super Bowl?
I sure did. That was a lot of fun. I mean, that second
half.
Wow,
that's the best Super Bowl I can ever remember. I can't think of one that was more exciting.
Yeah, I agree. That was so. It's like, you know, I've got a guest, Sherry Brown from Atlanta, and I was kind of rooting for, you know, how it'd be nice, you know, they haven't won anything. But but I've always been a Patriots fan just because of the Patriots and being patriotic, I guess. I'm not a big NFL guy. So I wanted to see a good ending. So I was rooting for overtime because, you know, the first time ever. And anyway, it was.
I know. Crazy. Well, after the first half, it was not so exciting.
Right. That's what I thought.
The first half. I was like, oh, no, but we kept it on just in case. And I'm glad we didn't turn it off.
Yeah, I thought, here we go, you know, back to blowouts again, because it used to be the Super Bowl was like a blowout. The winner always just, yeah. So it wasn't, you know, much fun unless you're the winning side. But yeah, that's incredible. So good stuff there.
Absolutely. Everything else good on your end?
Yeah, you know, Saturday marks the return of the man from the Bay Area. Mr. Kevin Durant comes back to Oklahoma City for the first time. So I'm sure there'll be 20,000 eagerly waiting fans.
Are people still mad? Is everyone still mad at him?
Pretty much, yeah. It's not like it was, but he'll get a big amount of boos. People feel betrayed, and, you know, I mean, people realize sports people are going to go where it's best for them, but they feel betrayed by saying, you know, I love it here. You guys are the best. I'm not going anywhere. And even told his teammates that like a day or two before. And just the betrayal feels, you know, a little bad, but
that's a bummer.
Yeah, and every time Oklahoma City's gone out to play Golden State this year, you know, Durant has made sure we just get killed. I mean, just plummeted. I mean, he's eagerly.
I think
you
he's
know.
I think he's just a competitor. they just want to win. Everyone on that team.
Yeah, well, that part's true. So, I saw something about, what's his name? Who's the other player on there, the star of the team?
Steph Curry.
Yeah, he said something negative about Trump. I forget
he
what it was.
He said something about, it was that the CEO of Under Armour said something positive about Trump, and I don't think he liked it. I didn't read the full story But it was something about, I think it was something like that about what the CEO had said.
Oh, okay. I get you.
I didn't read the full story.
Yeah. You know, the thing that, since we have a few minutes here, that, you know, and I've always talked to you about issues that I've run into, and you've been very helpful. So I'll lay this one on you. You know,
okay.
And, you know, one thing I've ran into recently is, see, I feel, because I've, you know, with all the listeners that I have, that I've talked to from here, you know, time to time, especially during the election, you know, many people, unlike what people think, do not get the news. They don't hear stories that are important. And once they are informed of certain things, especially things that are near and dear to them, they're amazed. They're like, wow, I didn't know that, you know, type thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so I feel, for at least myself, it's important that being a public figure and so forth, and people kind of rely on what I say to a certain extent, that I put, you know, the important things that might affect people in a negative way, put the story out there. Don't put a slant on it, but put it out there. Let the people make their own determination, but at least put it out there. And some people have said, you know, well, you're being too negative, you're all this stuff. And I don't see it that way. I think if we just sit here and we just close our eyes, I mean, that is exactly what people who are, you know, are people that want to run over people want to do. Just like, you know, recently I put an example out there that I thought was important, was the Republicans rolled back a rule that now lets coal companies put coal debris into streams again. You know, that's like,
mm-hmm.
That's really nice. Most people wouldn't know that. So I posted that article,
mm-hmm.
things like that. So I think it's an informative thing to keep people aware. I think it's really important.
Yeah. And you and I have talked about this before. It's always, what I invite people to do whenever they have questions like the one that you're posing or something related is always go within and look at the why behind the desire to act. And if the desire to act is based on fear or, you know, something along those lines, then that might be time to pull back and go within and uncover what's driving the fear and taking a look at that. And if it is anchored in love or a higher vibration emotion along those lines, then go ahead and do it, comfortable that you're moving forward anchored in love, and then people can react and respond how they react and respond, and that's their choice, and it's up to them. If they're triggered by that, they can have a look at what's triggering them, because every one of us has our own triggers, and it's there. Those are kind of indicators that something is coming up for healing. And so it's always an invitation to look at what the motivation is for action. Is it love-based or is it fear-based? And then decide accordingly on what's driving. And you just said that it sounds like your motivation is love-based, of wanting people to be aware, and then that's fine. And if it were based in fear, I'd counsel you differently.
Yeah, and I, when people come and they say negative things to me directly, sometimes I'll look and see where's that coming from. Where's it coming from on their part?
Mm-hmm.
And almost always, if I go to their Facebook page, I'll see they're a big supporter of Donald Trump. Which so
mm-hmm.
That tells me where that's coming from, and that's like You know, they asked one of the news anchors of CNN, who's getting blasted all the time by Trump, and asked them, does that make you back down at all? And they said, no, of course not, that we're going to hold his feet to the fire. And if things are, you know, that are wrong or lied about or what have you, we're going to report it. And I think that is there's absolutely nothing wrong with that.
Absolutely. And, you know, by the same token, if you see him doing something good or right or whatever, comment on that accordingly. And and so it's, you know, I think the key is what's the motivation? What's the energy behind the desire to act or not act? And as long as one is operating from a certain level of self-awareness as to what's behind and motivating their actions, you can act, proceed accordingly.
Right. And I agree with that, too. I mean, I posted an article or two that I thought was a positive thing so that Trump did, and so I posted it. So, So, yeah. But, yeah. So, I thought you would be a good sounding board to.
and it applies to not just things that are going on in our kind of the national stage or the global stage for that matter. You can apply that same approach to anything that's going on in your life, for the listeners, anything that's going on in their lives, is what's behind your desire to act. And it really requires a lot of introspection and the willingness to look closely at what's driving us and driving our behavior, because a lot of times we're motivated by fear and we don't even know it. And so it's really an invitation. Again, anything that triggers us is an invitation to go within and look at what are the beliefs underlying my reaction. What do I believe is going to happen or not happen that's causing me to react the way that I am? And the same goes for if I want to act, take some kind of action of some sort, what's behind my desire to act? Is it fear-based or love-based? And if you can look and honestly say that love is the motivation for that desire to act, then by all means do it. And I invite people to be really honest with yourself if you're thinking that it's love, and make sure that that's really what it is, because a lot of times people tell themselves that it's love, but it's really fear. So you have to look closely. And I'm not speaking specifically to you, Michael. It's a general you.
Right.
The plural you.
Yeah. I mean, you would not believe either the articles I come across or the articles that are sent to me by many people who know that, you know, I've got a lot of people that follow my page. They want me to post it, and I mean, I decline probably 2/3 of it because it's too incendiary, you know, to start things up, and it's just too negative. So I might have a chuckle myself, but it's not something I'm going to post on my
on
my postings. Yeah.
Exactly. And so that's, you know, we can apply that approach to anything that shows up in our lives. Is what's behind it? What's the energetic?
Yeah. Because, you know, I have always, you know, whenever I've listened to radio, and I'm a big radio talk radio nut listener, I guess is why I'm doing what I'm doing now. But it always gets to me when I listen to something on the political side of things, where it's always one way or the other. It's either, and it just isn't that way. And unfortunately, we're in that culture right now where, you know, either one side is the villain or the other side is. And it's like, why can't we have a fair and balanced approach? I mean, a real fair, balanced approach, and call things out on each side if they're wrong.
Absolutely.
So,
and so that's it's finding that middle way. And like I said, you know, when Trump does something positive, call it out. When he does something negative, call it out. And that's not just Trump. It's, you know, anybody in the political sphere, no matter which side of the aisle you're on, call it out. And, you know, the good and the bad. Instead of, so often we see people on one side say, okay, people on my side of the aisle are all good and everybody on the opposite side is all bad, and the world is not black and white. There are grays. And as we recognize that and live from that fact that there are shades of gray, I think we can start to do our part to move people back from the either extreme. Because if we start to see that there's an alternative path that's not all one way or the other way, we can all live in more balance. And I think that's what it's really about, is everything feels so out of balance because people aren't finding that middle path. And I think it's up to us individually and collectively to identify opportunities to do so.
Yeah. And on another totally different topic, one thing that really has been a struggle on this show, I have to say, frustration on my part is, you know, my goal in all this show is helping the listeners and callers. And I get frustrated because from time to time I'll have people who call the show, like I did recently, and a young man called and he was truly troubled by basically thinking that by going into a chat room that his energy was zapped by someone else and that he was feeling drained by this attachment and that he was also hearing voices in his head. And I've had other people that feel the government, I've had one lady call that government is after her. And I said, and she's like, I got to go into hiding. I'm writing a book right now. And she was just hysterical on the phone. And I said, calm down just a minute, talk with me. I said, what would the government be after you about? Do you have secrets? Do you really have secrets on the government? She said, well, no. I said, well, why do you think they would go after you of all these millions of people on Earth? And I don't know, you know. And so when I talk to people like this, I say, you know, before we go to, you know, looking at ETs and different things, doing things to you, you know, and like the young gentleman yesterday, I said, have you gone in for a medical check recently? No, I haven't. And I think that has got to be the start, you know, of getting people, because things can be off, as you know, in your body that can cause all sorts of things. I've got it myself, and you know, and so it's nothing at all bad. It's just the way our body works, and if things are not in balance, weird things can happen. We can actually see things. We can hear things just by our body being off. And it frustrates me that even though I say these things in a nice, gentle way, it's, it's like, you know, talking to air. It goes nowhere. It just, that's why I say it's really frustrating. I just, I just wish they would, you know, walk into a hospital or something, even if they don't have insurance, and just say, hey, this is what's going on with me. Could you check me out?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so.
And, I mean, the broader thing is that we're always at choice, right? So in terms of what we choose to experience, and I've had, one of the examples that you mentioned was somebody who was talking about having their energy drained by other people and hearing voices, et cetera. And a lot of times people are really willing to give away their power, whether it's to the government, whether it's to other people they're in relationship with, friends and family members, or spouses, or, you know, romantic partners, or, you know, energetically giving power away. And that's one thing that I really strongly encourage people is to stand in their power of, you know, what choices are you making moment to moment of, you know, I choose to stand in my power and not let other energies into my space, as an example for that person that you were talking to yesterday, I think you said. And instead of giving power away to whoever these voices are, and it could be a physical challenge, and it might not be. So for folks who have checked and there's nothing physically wrong, the other thing to do is make a choice. And make a choice to stand in your power, to stand in your energetic integrity, that nothing can permeate it unless you give it permission. And do that. One story that has just been popping up a lot for me lately for whatever reason is the whole idea of the story of the Wizard of Oz and how Dorothy had everything that she needed to get back to Kansas at the beginning of the story, but she was so intent on getting to Oz and talking to the Grand Wizard, the Wizard of Oz, to help her get back to Kansas, that she ignored it. And then she got there and realized it was just some guy behind a curtain that wasn't great, that wasn't powerful, and that she could have done everything that she needed to do or that she wanted to do without that long trip, which is not to say that that journey didn't have its benefits. She had some companions along the way, and she learned a lot about herself along the way. But just like Dorothy gave her power away to that the great and powerful Oz, we often give our power away to other people, other entities. And I really feel like it's an important message for this time, for folks to recognize how powerful they are and to stand in that power and to act from that power, as opposed to standing in victimhood and acting from that place of believing that they're a victim, because you're only a victim if you choose to be. And that feels like it's a really powerful message for this time for folks to hear. And somewhere I'm going to write a blog post about just that, because it keeps coming up to do so.
Mm-hmm. That's really good. Yeah, exactly. You're in your power. Yeah, exactly.
A lot of times people don't own it, right? They're afraid of their own power. And it feels like this is really the time to just stop being afraid of your power and own it, and recognize that it's a gift for not only yourself when you're standing in your power, but for everyone around you. Because when you do it from a really authentic place, this is not power, standing in your power for the purposes of self-aggrandizement, or manipulating others. This is a really authentic divine power that is at the core of each one of us. And when we're there and we're authentic about it, we can create shifts in the world.
Yeah, I agree. That's why you're so good. You can show people and always have been. So you helped me center my – I probably would have exploded by now. You've been with me about a year and a half or so and when we first met and Trump was on the scene, you know.
Yes. Well, it's a regular practice. And so it's always about getting back to center of what's triggering me and why. What am I believing? And is it really true? Or is it just a story I've made up? And then the last piece of that is, and this is something I encourage, in my clients and my work with them, is what's mine to do? Because not everything that crosses our path requires us to take action. And so it's what is mine to do in this moment? And if you're ever in that place of anxiety about anything, and you've gotten to the root of it and understand the beliefs behind it and whether they're true or not, is the final question is, what is mine to do? What is there anything that I need to bring to this situation or this experience? And if so, what is it? And then follow through on it. And if not, just let it alone. And a lot of times that letting it alone is the hardest part for many of us. I know for me, it was, I was perpetually a fixer and always trying to fix things. And a lot of times the things I was trying to fix weren't mine to do. And that was a really tough lesson for me of, not jumping in to help somebody because they need, it was part of their growth process to figure it out themselves. And if I was in there trying to fix, I was depriving them of that opportunity, as an example. And that was really tough because, it's natural to try and want to help people, as an example. But sometimes that's not for their best and highest good. And so that's as we go within, as we develop our, through spiritual practice, develop and enhance our natural intuitive abilities, we'll be able to discern what's ours to do and what's somebody else's to do.
Yeah. I just, like this, the ruling by the Ninth Circuit Court, upholding the stay against the travel ban. Mm-hmm. I think that is also in part testament to the will of the people, because who knows if that would be the ruling if it wasn't for the mass of people that stood up, in all the cities, airports after airport, and saying, no, this is not right, and these weren't protests from, Muslim type, faiths. It was all different faiths. I mean, most crowds I saw were more white people than any different skin color. So I thought that was great. It showed how beautiful America is. And so it just shows the power of the people, just like the Women's March. And I see that they're starting to push back on, touching Obamacare, which would be good. So people could, have health care and maybe live longer. So anyway, just the people need to know they have the power, not in violence. No, that's totally wrong. That's the opposite effect. But in just in their, in the mass of people, I mean, the people brought down the Berlin Wall, people brought down the Soviet Union. I remember that. And so mm-hmm. we have the same power here today.
Absolutely. And the thing to remember is and this is really hard for some people to remember or to acknowledge, is that God is all that there is, right? So everything that's happening, no matter what it looks like, is God in action and expression. And that includes the stuff that we might perceive of as negative or bad or even evil. And what we have to, our primary focus is on capital G good, which is what I use as another name for God. And as we focus on acknowledging good rather than fighting bad, you know, the quote-unquote bad, we create space for things to shift, for new ideas to emerge, for new actions to take place. And it's that focus on capital G good slash God rather than resisting something that we perceive to be the opposite of good, that's where our real opportunity lies. Because, you know, what they say about the things that we resist persist. And so it's not about resisting. It's what am I standing for? What am I acknowledging? What am I recognizing as happening? And what am I acknowledging as the foundation of everything? And if I'm acknowledging duality as the foundation, then I'm constantly going to be in that swirl of good and bad, right and wrong, you know, God and whatever I'm saying is the opposite of God, you know, whether it's, you know, Satan or something else. And versus if I'm acknowledging good, and it says in the Bible, acknowledge God, and I'll throw in parentheses, good in all thy ways. And when we have that as our starting point, we can absolutely create shifts in our experience.
Yeah, that's good. I like that. That's very powerful. Very true.
I've given it lots of thought.
I can tell. That's what I like about you.
Yeah, these are the things that I ponder in my spare time for fun. Those really big philosophical questions.
Yeah, you should be in the discussions with my son and I. He's whenever he gets off work, he almost like, okay, Dad, set off the TV, let's talk. So he brings all these spiritual deep questions of do you think
that's
we
deep.
Were here before, you know, all this.
That's deep.
He just gets so deep, my mind gets so at a point, you know, it's already late at night, so I'm getting kind of tired, and it's like, okay, all right, enough spiritual talk for the night, okay, let's leave it at that. But
That's cute. Well, good for him for, you know, being willing to take the time to contemplate, because it's only through that contemplation and self-reflection that we uncover, like, we get through the muck that's keeping us stuck and are able to create that space to move forward from, because we're doing so from that place of self-awareness.
Yeah. Do you think that Earth is like the original, could be the one of the original places we go, like the, and the other dimensions, universes are like they're locked away until our soul grows, like we're here to grow and learn?
I absolutely think we're here to grow and learn. From my perspective, it can't be that this is the only place in an infinite universe. And I don't know that there is a sequence of, you know, you start at A and go to B and then to C. My intuition says no, that's not how it works, that it's, you know, we end up wherever we need to end up for whatever is best for the next stage of our soul's evolution.
What about people, souls who are in countries, you know, here in the world that we would say have it very tough, let's say like Africa? We all know most people there have it much tougher than us here in, you know, in Europe and things like that. Would you say those are new souls or not really?
No, not at all. I think that we all choose where we want to land, so to speak, before coming into our physical bodies. We choose the kinds of experiences we want to have. We choose the parents that we want to be born into, the type of environment we want to be born into. All of it is for our soul's growth, and to learn and experience the things that, you know, at a soul level we want to learn and experience. So I don't think anything is by chance. And the challenging situations that we might find ourselves in are all opportunities for us to go back to acknowledging the spiritual truth that our souls set out for us to acknowledge in choosing those experiences, if you will. Because I think there's a purpose behind all of it. But I think we get here and we forget.
Yeah, that's an interesting topic all by its own. Like,
yeah.
Why do we forget it all if we're, but.
Well, I mean, that's part of the process of the human development, and recognizing that we're not human / material beings, we're spiritual beings. And if you asked the vast majority of the planet's, what, 7+ billion inhabitants, the vast majority would not recognize or acknowledge that. And that's really what we're here to recognize and acknowledge. And I think that's part of why a lot of the seeming turmoil that's happening on the planet is we're collectively creating that to help us remember the truth of who we are and get to that place. Because as Michael Beckwith, who is the spiritual director of the Agape International Spiritual Center down in L.A., he says the pain pushes you until the vision pulls you. And I've always loved that. And so right now, a lot of folks on the planet are getting pushed by that pain of things not going right, you know, quote unquote right in their lives, those painful experiences. And they haven't gotten to a point where they're in alignment with that spiritual vision, which once they get into alignment with that, that vision pulls them rather than needing to, you know, learn those lessons through pain and suffering.
Yeah. Very true, very deep. That's kind of what I thought. And but that was one of the many questions my son has thrown out there in his discoveries and learnings that he's wondered about. But like I told him that, you know, like if we when we die and we're like told, well, we should go back for another round, it's like, well, if we're going back to like the U.S. or Europe, like, okay, that's, I'll do that another round. But if it's going to Africa or India or, you know, somewhere in the desert, you know, it's like, wow.
A lot of people choose, right? So I've heard stories of people, you know, choosing to come with or be born with a disease or a congenital defect or, you know, whatever it is. And it's not only for their soul's development, it's also for the development of the souls around them, right? And so, I absolutely wouldn't operate under the assumption that the evolved souls choose the easy life, the easy lifetimes, because a lot of times that's not the case.
All right. It's all in the experience, and I know that on the other side we can see more fully and see why we would need to quote have a go into more challenges. I'll be born with a disease, go in one of these countries that would seem a lot harder, but it's really interesting to think about.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, it sounds like your son's asking a lot of very interesting questions, so I look forward to hearing some more the next time we chat.
Yeah, looking forward to it. I'll be jotting down the questions, and we'll have rapid fire for you next week. By the end of the hour, your mind will be blown.
Hopefully I have responses for them.
Oh, you always do.
Awesome.
Always good ones.
Well, good. I try.
All right, my friend. Well, take care. You have a great week.
You have a great week. I'll talk to you next week, Michael.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Lots of love. Bye.
Lots of love. All righty. Always great to join in with Sumaya. Okay. What's coming up next, boys and girls? We will, in 1 hour, will be Angel Cusack will be the guest, and she will be hosting that show. So it will be on in an hour from now. So we will see all of you then. And then tomorrow afternoon, I'll be on with Rachel Hope at 3 p.m., Eastern time. That's my only Friday show, and then we'll be back to Sunday night again. I've done that in 2 weeks. Last week was the Super Bowl, but we'll be joined with all of our Sunday night guests, so that will be great. It's been like a while since we've seen them. So, Angel, in 1 hour, folks, and we will see all of you then. Much love to everybody. Thanks for listening. Thanks, Bonnie.